Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time.
So, I don't know if this gentleman's ever tweeted me before, but he turns out to be a Bengals fan. He asked me not to put that bad Burrow juju in the air, WJ13. It's not my fault. I'm just recounting what's happened to Joe Burrow. He's been hurt. What I say doesn't predict the future. But, you know, maybe if he wasn't so tissue paper. I'm kidding. Just stay on the... It's not my fault. He gets hurt.
Yeah, we're
it's a brutal game.
We're saying in the past he got
hurt. Yeah, I'm not predicting that'll happen. It'll happen again.
Yeah. We don't think he's made of glass.
I mean, I don't think it. I think I may know it, but I don't think it. Joe Burrow's going to be fine. He's a great player. You know, the NFL doesn't mean physical. Quarterbacks don't suffer big injuries. I hope Joe Burrow's fine. He's been a great player, and he's just been unfortunate. But don't put it on me if it happens again. We have a history of it now. He can now be called injury prone, even if that seems a little unfair. But I hope he plays. He's one of the best players in the game. And, you know, that division should be really, really tough. I know Russell Wilson's the quarterback of the Steelers, but that's a division where every team could finish above 500.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers were good or were pretty good last year, and they had Kenny Pickett as their quarterback. So,
yeah.
Them having Russell Wilson, no different, really.
Well, I would hope he's a little better.
It's actually better.
It's got to be a little better.
I think Pickett threw like 12 touchdowns last year. It was like some ridiculously low number that I feel like we should have talked about way more during the season, but I guess there's just a lot going on during the season.
Focusing on
we didn't talk about. Wait, Kenny Pickett just doesn't throw touchdowns.
Yeah, and focusing on how middling the Steelers are. I'm not sure anyone is looking for that. But Kenny Pickett now in Philadelphia will be the backup to Jalen Hurts, and that's the division. At least the AFC North, that should be a tough one. The winners of the AFC West and Super Bowl champions were the Kansas City Chiefs, and Billy wants to talk about the most famous person associated with that franchise, Taylor Swift. What's up, Billy?
Hey, what's going on, Delicious?
Billy.
I was wondering, do you think Taylor has that hot Tua in her? I was just wanting to know.
I'm not going to speculate on what Taylor Swift or any woman has in them, as you said. But let's talk about you, Ryan. I didn't get to this yesterday, but since you called in for, I feel like, the second time to this show, and maybe you did it twice on the John Lance Show, we're going to speculate about you. Oh, by the way, the name of the interns podcast, his name's Ryan Diamond. It's the H-Town Rundown, since I was taking my shots at him. The H-Town Rundown, you can find that on YouTube and where other podcasts and where all podcasts can be found as well. So, Ryan, what do we think about Ryan? Because he calls in quite a bit. He calls it, but you have to think about his age. So normally you would think, oh, maybe he's a college kid because he's got a lot of time to call in. But he is, I wouldn't say obsessed, but he's focused on women of a time that no college kid of this age would care about.
Yes.
So do we think Ryan has a job?
I think, let's start with yes, he does have a
job. He does have a
job. Because if the answer is no, then I think that's the end of the discussion.
Okay, he does have a job.
Yes.
What kind of job do you think he has where he has
not
this amount of time?
Not a hard one.
Not
he's
very,
not a surgeon.
Not very taxing.
Yes. I'm going to guess he's not a surgeon.
So if you don't know, Ryan can be Billy, can be fake salsa, he can be others.
He can be anything.
He can be anything.
Shapeshifter.
I say fake salsa. I'm thinking fake La Raza, but it's more La Salsa is what he is, or Lil Salsa, depending on what the intern writes. So you think he has a job, but not a very taxing one?
Does he work? He has a lot of free time.
Does he work from home?
Certainly possible.
Yes. Or is he a delivery guy where he can drive around? He's always has access to a radio and his phone.
He doesn't sound like he's in a car.
No,
though,
it's
or
pretty
moving.
Clear, right?
Yeah, he's always.
You don't hear
clear.
Any ambient noise.
Yeah. And yeah, actually, he has to be working from home because of what his calls consist of.
And what he says,
like,
yes.
I can't believe that he would be in a cubicle.
You make a point. How many times can you call in back to back and talk about OnlyFans and not have someone notice?
Or maybe he has his own office. Maybe we're under.
Does he run his own business?
He's an executive.
He could run his own business, and then he could say pretty much whatever he wants, as long as that door is closed.
That is true.
I'm gonna go if we're going to say Ryan is gainfully employed and doesn't work at home, I'm going to say he has an office at a minimum and maybe even runs his own business where he can go trick off and call us and call all the morning show as well.
Because he's on hold for 25 minutes.
And wait, because he's up early because he's calling that show.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is a wrinkle. He's definitely not unemployed then.
No, because he's up. Well, Gilbert gets up early to call and stay on hold. So I'm not sure we should use that as the baseline, but it goes from like 7
Gilbert's an outlier, though.
Yeah, but it goes from like 7 to 11:30 every morning. He's available to make these calls at a minimum. I don't know what he does on. Does he call Gallant and George?
No.
Okay. So at least 7 to about 11:30. We don't usually hear from him after that. Maybe it's lunchtime or something. Possibly.
And he's just not a Gallant George fan.
No, I mean, I was really talking about this show. He goes to lunch at like 11:30 or whatever, so he's not calling after that point. But maybe he's got lunch or maybe meetings start in the afternoon, so he can't actually call. I'm just trying to figure out where all this time comes from.
Maybe no, because he's too busy if he works at a restaurant.
Yeah.
I was thinking like a restaurant that opens at lunch or something, so he's like, you know, just prepping. I don't think he works at the Bear, but I think maybe a restaurant.
Yeah, maybe a restaurant. But I think safe bet, he's got a private space where he can make these calls. He's up early enough where it suggests he's gainfully employed. So he's a little bit too unserious to run a place.
Yeah, yeah. If we're just scouting him off of the calls, it seems unlikely that he hangs up the phone asking about Christina Milian's OnlyFans,
yeah,
and then hangs it up and then has to make some crucial decisions with hundreds of thousands of dollars,
yeah,
on the line. I doubt that.
I don't know how the brain transitions from that call into that particular
about who's in
responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. The man's thinking back to all the stuff magazines he hid under his bed, and then he's calling us. He calls us, and then he makes a big decision that can change the trajectory of a company. Don't think that's what's going on, but he may have his own office. Ryan, if you ever want to call in with your real name and discuss what you actually do, actually don't.
No,
the mystery's better.
No, because that
the mystery's actually better, at least in my
and
eyes.
And I feel like he'll give us a fake job. Like
he would never call in with what he actually does.
No.
In fact, Ryan may not be his real name anyway. That might be the baseline we're going with, where we think that's his real name.
Now we just turned him into the Riddler. Like, now there's
he's part of my rogues gallery.
Well, that's
him
for
and
sure.
Eric.
That's for sure.
Yeah,
they're definitely part of.
Yeah, but we welcome the mystery that is Ryan, if that is your real name. So we appreciate you calling in. I just thought about this yesterday, considering how often he's on hold or on air. What the hell does he do? But we welcome you, Ryan. Call in as much as you like. We'll get more into the Mets Astros. I'll give you who's going to start over the weekend, and there's an opening for the Astros on Sunday. Probably going to be a bullpen game, but we'll discuss who will start Friday. I say Friday, tonight I mean, and Saturday as the Astros continue the hot streak and see if they can, you know, immovable object versus irresistible force. Both teams are very hot. I'll give you their records in the last month or so. Both teams playing really good baseball. Somebody has to lose, and we hope it's the Mets. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
You heard the voice of Michael Carroll. He'll join us after this segment. We'll talk about TV if you want to join us for that. I don't know if it'll be an exclusive spoiler thing, but I am warning you now. In that segment, if we talk about a show, spoilers are allowed. We're not going to dance around them. So if you've missed something this week, whether it be The Acolyte or House of the Dragon, and among other things, I don't like telling people not to listen, and maybe you don't care about spoilers, but we probably will get to them just the way it is. I figured we'll segment our TV talk to that segment, so to keep people safe from spoilers throughout the rest of our time during the week. We were going to talk Astros, so why not start with Giovanni? He wants to talk about the Astros. What's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I just wanted to know, with the recent injury to JT France, you know, going to be out for a while. Let's say the Astros don't make any additions, you know, to the pitching staff. Where do you see us finishing? You know, how is the rest of the season going to play out? Thank you.
You know what? The way they're pitching, they've got a real shot to, and considering the Mariners are only 4.5 back up, they got a shot to win this division. It's going to be tough, mostly because you're going to ask a lot out of guys who have not pitched this many innings. Blanco, Arrigetti, Hunter Brown. Of course, if Verlander comes back, I don't know when he's going to come back. That's a guy that would certainly bolster it. But the one guy who you know can get through an entire season right now is Fromber. The rest of those guys, can they hold up? Can we expect Arrigetti to be what he was in his last start? Probably not. That was a great performance. Hunter Brown has been consistent over the last month plus, so maybe that's who he's going to be. Maybe not multiple games in a row where he's not giving up a run, but being very solid. I just think the pitching and can it hold up is the question. If we're going to get those type of performances start after start, you can probably expect a division title. That's how good they've been. And we expect the lineup to be, as long as health is a thing for them, because Kyle Tucker is starting baseball activity, so he is going to be a guy who comes back at some point, maybe certainly in the month of July, it looks like. So this is the division title team. If you can get the performances from these pitchers throughout the course of the year. Now, you'll get reinforcements at some point. Luis Garcia is going to come back. Lance McCullers, I don't know whether he's selling coffee or doing photo shoots. Mostly all we care about is whether that tendon is going to be healthy. But even if it is, as long as those guys hold up, what spot is there in this rotation for Lance McCullers? Why would you hand him a rotation spot considering how these guys are pitching right now?
Yeah, it might be, like you mentioned, with the innings with Arrigetti, especially Arrigetti.
Yeah.
It might be not a send him down because he needs to be better, because I think as of late, when he starts knowing that he's going to start that day, he's been solid. That it's more of a protecting his arm kind of situation, because we saw it with J.P. France. Last year, J.P. France blew past however many innings he'd ever thrown in any season in his life, and then this year his shoulder explodes.
Yeah.
So there is some maintenance that could be done, whether it is a six-man rotation to limit the innings, or if it's just kind of putting one of them on ice for a little while. It could be that as well, because I assume Ronel Blanco hasn't thrown a crazy amount of innings in his life either, but he's a little bit older, so you don't think about it as much. But that to me would be the real addition with McCullers, and to a lesser degree Garcia, because Garcia has a little bit more of a solid track record of, I guess, just being available and good, where McCullers only has half of that. That just taking it off the plate of some of these other pitchers is really the benefit that you're getting.
Yeah, how do they manage these guys as as they go down the stretch, particularly if they are in a division title race. Can they depend on these arms? Or, as Sean talked about, will we start to maybe, hey, he's going to miss a start here. Or he's limited to a certain amount of pitches no matter what, just because you're trying to make it through the rest of the year because the injuries have put guys in the position to never do something they've never done before. So, Giovanni, health with that staff and durability is probably the difference between winning a division or scrapping it out for the wild card. And we'll see if the Astros add anything. We know they've considered themselves buyers, and their recent run of success makes it more likely that'll happen. So this weekend, that Blanco will go today, and then Fromber will go on Saturday, and then we'll see who goes on Saturday with the spot in the rotation open. The Astros Mets start with a broadcast on not NBA TV, Apple TV. They'll have the broadcast tonight. So if you don't know, go find it there. I like the Apple TV broadcast, but I get it. If you want your hometown voices on the game, understood. It'll be a national broadcast for the Astros with the Mets and in New York. Should be a good series. Two teams trying to continue their hot streak. And I bring that up because MLB on Fox has this. They tweeted this out, I believe, yesterday regarding the records. So, obviously, we're Astros-centric, Astros-focused, so we know how hot they've been. The Astros are 15-7 in the month of June. The Mets are a half game better, 15-6. I mean, for a series featuring 500 teams, it's a pretty good one, mostly because of the way they've been playing. And these are teams, and the Mets were a team I think a lot of people expected to take a step back. You know, you trade Verlander last year, Scherzer's another big acquisition from the previous season is no longer there. You just think, hey, they weren't good last year. They're going to be pretty bad this year, and that was the case. Until Grimace threw out the first pitch.
Of all
things.
Entity.
Not of all people. Not of all, I don't know. I guess like we had this discussion. I don't know what a Grimace is. I just know he's an entity.
Of all nouns.
Grimace is a proper noun. Yes. Yes. That's all we can call him. Maybe McDonald's will explain what the hell. Is he a gumdrop? What the hell is Grimace? What are the other McDonald's characters? Ronald McDonald, is he just a clown or a human being playing a clown? What will we classify Ronald McDonald as?
I think he's a clown.
He's a clown. So he's a species of clown. We've got Hamburglar, who we believe is not criminal. A species of burglar. He's just a human being who likes to steal, a humanoid thing who likes to steal hamburgers.
Kleptomaniac.
Yes. And is that it? Is that the three? Is there another one? Do they have any more?
I think there's more. How do I Google this? McDonald's
character buddies? I don't know what you call them. McDonald's characters is what I've Googled to try to find out if there are any more. You got Officer Big Mac?
Right.
You got Mac Tonight. Remember that smooth jazz piano playing character they had? He was called Mac Tonight. That had a run, you probably don't. That had a run like in the early 90s. I remember Mac Tonight. Mac Tonight was creepy. If you don't know, Mac Tonight was just a crescent moon shaped head on a human body, and he wore sunglasses, and he was supposed to be this cool cat who played the piano. Mac Tonight was creepy.
All right.
I'm glad they retired him. Yeah. I didn't like him as a kid.
Oh, I just pulled it up. That is horrifying.
It is horrifying. Mac Tonight was awful. I don't know why they decided to get that off. Why they thought that could sell burgers. But I loved Officer Big Mac.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Looking at his face, he wasn't very kind.
Crooked officer.
Yeah. You think he was
the Hamburglar run free.
Well, payoffs matter. He's got a family to feed. And he's dressed like an officer from England from like the 1920s. He's got that stupid hat on his head. But yeah. So
anything else from the
I don't McDonald's? From the Rogues Gallery of McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm looking at
Ronald McDonald characters.
I don't remember any of these people.
I can't believe they tried to get Mac Tonight off. Oof. And they sold the toys too. He was the worst. The Hamburglar, I get it, man. You want to take a burger?
Understood. Everyone's got
to eat. Yeah, trying to feed your family. Understood. Understood. We will discuss the goings-on in pop culture when we come back. Michael Carroll will join us. He is the host of Comicast. He does that podcast with John Lee. If you have wanted to call in about anything regarding TV, now's your time. We will take calls there, 713-780-3776. We had Julian call in very early in the week. He wanted to talk about House of the Dragon. I held him off and said, hey, 11:30 on Fridays, that's your time. And that time belongs to you guys, too. We'll certainly discuss some things, but we'll welcome your calls as well. Michael Carroll, when we come back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Welcome back. I'll remind you again, this is the time where we will talk about shows in a spoiler way. So if you have something you need to watch, whether it be House of the Dragon, you haven't seen episode 2 or episode 1, or maybe also The Acolyte, which we both have seen, and then, of course, The Boys. If you haven't seen those episodes, The Boys one's a little tricky because it just premiered yesterday. So if you haven't seen those, this is the time to maybe at least tune out or turn down your radio because we will get into that. I mean, we're not going to try to ruin your experience as far as watching those shows, but
oh, is that what we're not doing?
We're not going to dance around things like we normally do. I mean, if you and like I said, if you want to call in and talk about anything, 713-780-3776. So Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast, joins us. Michael, as you like to put, name the podcast, an issue much like a comic book, issue 544 is this week. What was the main focus? I know I've seen the topic, I've seen the headline about what you guys talked about, but you know, some things motivate people and get them excited about something more than others. You know, I talk about the Astros, but it ain't college football to me. So what happened this week that got you excited?
So for Comicast, we had Sean Tajapour from Nerdtropolis on. He talked about his experience at Superhero Comic Con from that. This comic book convention happens in San Antonio. It's a pretty big event. Like, they had Andy Serkis, they had Brandon Routh, they had Jamie Alexander. I mean, the list that he listed off in the latest issue of Comicast was ridiculous. We both, Jong and I, were like, that was all this weekend? And it's a serious convention that people should, if they're into this type of stuff, definitely like look into. But we talked to him about that because he moderated 11 panels at the event. And then, of course, we get into House of the Dragon, Acolyte, and The Boys. Not full spoilers because Sean wasn't caught up on like The Boys.
Okay.
But you know, we dived into a little bit of spoilers for the three that you mentioned already.
So you mentioned that you watched all of them. I asked you during the break, did you watch The Boys, the Acolyte, and House of the Dragon?
Yes.
So we'll start the discussion with ranking the episodes. Which one did you like the most?
Oh man. I'm gonna say House of the Dragon, Acolyte, The Boys.
I'm going to put The Boys at 3, House of Dragon at 2, and the Acolyte at 1, only because it's something I haven't seen from Star Wars in a very long time.
Well, I mean, to that level, and I think the surprise by people, because I think where episode 4 left off, everyone was like, okay, all these no-name red shirts, basically, are going to die.
Sure.
But these three are fine.
Yeah.
And no, 2 of the 3 were not.
Yes. Two of the main Jedi, whether you want Jackie the Apprentice, and then Yord with the F-boy haircut, they both died in episode 5. And it was a level of brutality that I have not seen from Star Wars. And this is what I wanted from the show. If we're going to push it as a show from the Sith point of view, I need the Sith to act like what I and this and by the way the main villain doesn't even consider himself a Sith, but if we're just going to categorize him as that, I need that type of energy.
Yeah.
And when he finally revealed himself to be not the jokey, somewhat idiotic persona that he was putting on, that was that was impressive by Manny Jacinto.
I will say, like, his acting is phenomenal. Like, his switching back and forth between those characters had the internet thirsting, I would say.
The arms.
Yes, the arms. The one thing I will say is I think they like, teased it a little too much in the last episode. Mm-hmm. I feel like it should have come out of nowhere a little bit better.
Yeah.
But that being said, the actual him going against all the Jedi, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, the fight sequence with Jekki, the Padawan, phenomenal. Just him, the skewer move where he gets the two Jedi on one lightsaber, I had never seen that before.
Pulling out a lightsaber type, like, dagger out of the regular lightsaber and dotting Jekki up.
Yeah, the three, when they goes behind the back of her and shows the foo, like, oh my God, I was really shocked.
Have
by
we
that.
Seen a neck snap in Star
no,
Wars history?
No, I don't think so.
No, because
I can't think of one.
My
off
biggest
top of my
thing
head.
About like Star Wars overall. Oh, look, you got killed by a lit up lightsaber. Cool. I mean.
Cuts through anything except certain things.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. Look, I get it. I mean, you're trying to avoid. Look, in some fights they're very violent, but you know, at the end of the day, there's like a burn hole in the guy, and they go away. There's no leaky blood. There's none of the stuff we see in other episodes, like The Boys, per se.
Right.
For instance, but the neck snap, I don't think I've ever seen that type. Look, you might take issue whether how brutal it was. Maybe you think Anakin killing Dooku is a different level. But I don't think a neck snap is something that I would have seen in any other type of Star Wars movie.
I mean, Vader's obviously choked people.
Choked people, yeah. But physically doing something out you would see in a John Wick movie.
Yeah, no, not like that.
Yeah.
Not like that. And especially to a character that I thought was going to be fine.
Survive, yeah.
I thought, you know, he had plot armor. I thought Jekki had plot
armor.
So
did I.
And no. Not at all.
No. So we're still on the verge of finding out what exactly happened as the main thrust of this show, the mystery that happened on that planet. We'll see if we get that.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
Do you think there's a theory that Osha is actually going to be the Acolyte? Because obviously there's a switch that happens.
Another parent trap type deal.
Yeah, parent trap type deal. Well done. Do you think, because obviously I think the truth is coming out next episode. Maybe not next episode, but I think part of the truth is coming out.
Because we need to know what Saul did or did not do.
Whatever they did was real bad.
Yeah.
So do you think that pushes Osha to possibly be in the actual Acolyte and not May?
I think it's possible, and I think that pushes Saul over the edge. Because we've heard throughout the season that you got to kill a Jedi without a weapon. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not actually losing their life, but turning them from a Jedi to the dark side. Mm-hmm. And maybe Osha wouldn't be the target because she's not officially a Jedi.
Right.
Maybe losing Osha, and we know May is already out on Saul, turns him to the dark side when he tries to get her back. Mm-hmm. So that is a mystery for me, because a mystery about who is the Lord, the Sith Lord, if you want to call him that, Master, excuse me.
Behind.
That wasn't ever really a big deal, particularly after episode 4. We kind of knew where that was going. But the mystery about what a Jedi, an emotional one, is going to become, I'm looking forward to. So
same.
I kind of commandeered it because that was my number one, but your number one was House of the Dragon, correct?
Yeah, House of the Dragon. I mean, it was just, again, phenomenal. Phenomenal writing, phenomenal, you know, obviously we see the fallout. Otto Hightower going into instant political, like, positioning move and having it, like, oh, he played this perfectly, right? Like, he's playing this, what happened at the end of episode 1, perfectly for their benefit, but Aegon's an idiot. and Kristen Cole is a guilty person that can't deal with it, so he's putting it
so
on everybody else.
On other people, eventually leads to the death of someone because he can't deal with his failure.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, just the writing and I saw somebody, one of my like critic friends, say this afterwards. That was the strongest Rhys Ifans performance as Otto Hightower. Like, he had a spectacular episode.
He was great. Those conversations are great. Now, openly calling the king a dummy and may not be great for job status, but it's great for TV. So, if I can criticize Otto in one thing, hey, maybe tone it down when you're talking to someone who has absolute power.
Yeah, that's true. But there's moments where it's like, I know I shouldn't be saying this, but I don't care.
Yeah. He has to get it off.
Yeah.
I have to get it, you know.
And it's,
I'm probably going to get fired at the end of this, so might as well.
That's what I think. I think that at some point in that conversation, when Aegon goes, Kristen Cole did something. I think that was the flip for him of like, no, I'm not just like dressing you down as far as like, here's as a hand to the king. This is what you need to do to be king. This is, I mean, I think he even says it like, no, my grandson is an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Like, yes. It turned into, no, actually, I just need to yell at him.
100%.
And if I get fired, so what? I wash my hands of this.
I need to get this out. And like, I mean, I get Aegon being, you know, just wanting vengeance, but that's why Otto's there. He sees the bigger picture. Obviously, he's pulling strings for his own self, certainly. But still.
You need a steadying hand in Aegon because, you know, he was never given the opportunity because he wasn't ever supposed to be king.
Yeah.
He was never at the side of his father, the wilting, molting hand of his dad. He was never at his side trying to learn how to be a king, and we're introduced to young Jaehaerys. And then that ended relatively quickly at the hand of Blood and Cheese. And then we see both of those gentlemen die.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. to both. Well, I don't know. They are child killers. I'm not
that's
sure.
True. Rest never mind. Cheese. I take that back.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. So Aegon, his masterstroke after Otto had, you know, gained the favor of the small folk by talking about what Rhaenyra did. You know, all he had to do was roll his great grandson out there, his head stitched back to his body. For the funeral procession. That's
loosely
all it took.
Stitched.
So that wasn't great, yeah.
So Jong on the podcast was like, how many of us thought that the head was going to roll
If it was the boys, it definitely would happen if it was on the boys. But I thought, you know what? Maybe they don't lean all the way in.
I think, the boys would 100%
done it. Yeah, that kid's head would have landed in some maiden's lap at some point on the boys.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Aegon, you know, wiped out all that good favor by killing every rat catcher in the that ever stepped foot in the Red Keep. So
hey, there's now open positions though.
Yeah, if you need a job,
perfect time to start a rat catching business.
Yeah. Exactly.
Will they follow up on that? Where there's like now there's a ton of rats at King's Landing. I just want a throwaway line of dialogue or a shot like at the end of The Departed where there's just like a rat somewhere where there's just like, there's a ton of rats because Aegon killed all the rat catchers.
Yeah, we've seen rats throughout season one, but now they just need to be.
That's just going
to
be a whole
like
problem.
Breeding on screen. Like
not on screen.
Somebody get the rat catch. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, more like just one scene, just a passing of multiple rats. A rat orgy even maybe. Just to prove the point.
Once again,
that would be more on the boys.
Let's honor the lives of Eric and Arik, all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's talk about
before we talk about rat sex.
Eric with an A and Arik with an A lost their lives because Kristen Cole and his guilt sent one brother against the other. Eric with an A is the one who hangs out in King's Landing as a King's Guard. He sent them there to kill Rhaenyra because he still hasn't gotten over her saying, nah, I'm good, when he asks her to run away with him. Mm-hmm. That's still a thing that he can't get over. Understood, man. But let it go.
Let it go, bro.
It's not helping you. So could you keep track of them? Did you know which one died first?
I had no idea. I honestly lost. Like, I was trying to keep track because one of them gets the slice on the leg, and I was like, okay, I think I know who's who, and then I lost track of it. But as soon as he, like, apologized and stabbed.
Your grace, he fell on the sword. Do you think there's any chance Eric with an E would have been able to continue to be in the King's Guard after this? Would anyone have ever trusted him to not be the other Eric who tried to kill him?
No, that's what my initial thought was like, there's no way, even if the right one wins in this scenario, there's no way you can trust him. Because how do you know that's not him? Like, that dude was screwed.
Damon's
from
lopping his head off him the minute he hears the story.
100%.
He is 100%. Lopping his head off him when he comes back.
That unhinged person is also a problem.
Yeah.
And the sequence between when Rhaenyra confronts him, I thought was some of the strongest part. One of the strongest parts of the episode.
Yeah, we learned. I mean, we kind of figured it out, but it was said expressly this week that Viserys, his brother, didn't didn't send him away because he was worried about him. Mm-hmm. He sent him away because he couldn't trust him, according to Rhaenyra. And, you know, Daemon said some things that lost him him being the heir in last season. And I think it all came out. There's a lack of trust between the green side and the black side, which doesn't really lead to like a coherent way of waging this war.
There's this whole, like, there's idiots on both sides.
Yes.
There's idiots that are emotionally, like,
stunted
and traumatized, yeah, and have issues. Daemon being one on I guess Team Black or whatever. And then of course you got
Aegon and Aemon have their own issues to work through.
Aemon's got his deal. Like, he's just, you know, he needs to be coddled a little bit
in the fetal position with the bowels of a pleasure den.
Yeah. We need to circle back on that.
Do you want to talk about him kind of having regret about what he did to young Luke
and getting doped up while he's doing it too?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Loose lips, man.
Yeah. Oh, that is the big takeaway is that these people are talking way too.
You're
much.
You're walking way too much.
So much. Yeah. Like,
also, Aemon needs to eat a little bit. I'm just saying.
That also struck me. I was like, wow.
Man, get some food, man.
Yeah. What's the strength and conditioning program for Dragon
Riders? I mean, I'm going to go very nerdy, but you remember what Voldemort looked like when he was in the station in the last movie?
Yeah.
He kind of looked like that.
Yeah.
All curled up and all malnourished.
Yeah. Oof.
The little bit of Voldemort that remained in that way station.
It
didn't look great for Aemon.
No, not great.
I mean, we're insulting an actual person right now because that's what he looks like in real life.
I still say he needs to eat. Hey,
I don't know if
just saying.
Hey, I'll give you the grace of saying you lost weight for the role.
Yeah, maybe.
But hey.
Just hit a McDonald's up, bro.
Yeah. Truly. Or something more hearty. I don't know what it has to be. But Aemon, who has the biggest dragon in the world, is a thin individual. And being in the fetal position with a woman of the night didn't help the look either.
No.
Maybe get off the milk of the poppy.
Maybe, you know. There's a program for
I get wanting to take the edge off.
Yeah.
I do. I get Aemon, it. Yeah. I get it.
I mean, look, eat a pheasant or something. I don't know.
That's, you know. Oh, real quick. I do want to call out the character that's called Hugh.
Yes.
I don't know if it's just simply showing the people's plight during all of this, if that's going to be the perspective of it. I don't know, like, what his character's background is. I just want to highlight that actor is also in Warrior.
He is. He played the crooked cop.
Yeah, Bill O'Hara,
yes.
I believe was his name. This was just an excuse for me to say watch Warrior.
Yes, it's on Netflix right now. Yes. If you haven't seen it at all, or if you haven't seen season 3 because you saw the first two on Max, season 3 is on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Complete it right now. Michael Carroll, the host of ComiCast. Before we go, I mean, I finished Presumed Innocent. That's a show if you guys are like sci-fi but don't like, I guess, dragons or anything, or maybe The Boys is too much for you, or maybe you don't like Star Wars. That's a show I would say go watch. Presumed Innocent ended, well, at least season 1 ended this week. Is there anything you would recommend beyond the big three?
I mean, The Bear season 3 is out right now. All episodes are out right now. So if you want to go binge that this weekend, you can. Of course, that's on Hulu. The top pick for me, though, going to the theater, is A Quiet Place Day One.
Okay.
Releases this weekend. I'm very excited. It's getting pretty good reviews so far, and that just has me excited. I've always liked the first two Quiet Place movies, and so showing, like, I guess, the initial day of the invasion, I think is going to be cool. And I like Lupita Nyong'o. I like Joseph Quinn and of course, the rest of the cast. I think it's going to be a good one, so I definitely recommend that.
Yeah, so The Quiet Place Part 2. If you don't, as Michael mentioned, in The Quiet Place Part 2, we saw the first day, but in a very town. It wasn't an urban, big city environment.
It was very much like a small town feel.
I don't know where exactly they're located, but it was like, if you want to picture middle America, small town, you know, a Little League baseball game was being played. And then this version of The Quiet Place, this version that's being released, that's in theaters right now, you're in a big city.
And arguably one of the loudest cities
possible. So how do you avoid sound?
People,
How do you avoid sound? So as you might imagine, we're actually going to get clear views of the aliens. I mean, we saw them in the back half of the second movie. I think we're going to see them throughout crawling down skyscrapers and other things.
Yeah.
And I say good luck to the people of that major city. It's not going to go well for them.
No, not at all. There's also Horizon American Saga Chapter 1.
Kevin Costner's movie.
If anyone wants to go watch that, it's limited release, but I would lean more towards Quiet Place Day 1, just based off reviews and everything. Also, that movie is 3 hours.
I'm not sitting through a three-hour Western. I'm sorry, it's not my thing.
Also, I feel like it's a Western that should have just been a television show.
Yeah. Kevin Costner's like, look,
I gotta tell the story,
and I do gotta do it in movie form. Yeah, yeah. I know. Field of Dreams, and but you're John Dutton to me, and particularly if you're going to be doing this type of content.
Yeah,
you're always going to be John Dutton if you're going to do this. So Kevin Costner has a new epic. Apparently, he got a standing ovation at Cannes. And now
I got a whole rant about that.
I'm sure. Is it a three-parter? Is it three movies?
It's like a four or five parter.
Has he filmed it all already?
He's filmed the first two, and I think he's trying to get budget for the next two or whatever.
We'll see how the box office does.
This is like Western James Cameron with Avatar.
Basically, pretty much. Yeah.
Except this won't make $1 billion.
In the opening Thursday, $800,000.
And I imagine
won't make eight.
I imagine the Na'vi are going to fare better in the rest of Avatar than the Native Americans are going to fare here.
Well,
history will tell you.
If
it's historically accurate, history's going to say not great by it. Well, not by us. I wasn't there for it. The Native Americans aren't going to fare well in this epic.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Thank you for separating yourself from the genocide of.
I mean, I was gonna say us as Americans. No. But I wasn't there for
it. Not like us.
I mean, my people were dealing with something else.
The 90s show season 2 premieres on Netflix this weekend.
You got that.
Also,
I'm punch drunk. It's Friday. I see. I'm only minutes away from getting out of here, so I'm just dropping bombs, I guess. Michael, I'm going to save you from me by ending the segment here. Michael Carroll, never controversial. Just listen to Comicast, him and Zhang Li. You can find it on Apple and Spotify. But if you want to listen to it on radio, if you're driving around, 9 to 10 Fridays here on ESPN 97.5. Michael, thank you.
Thanks, Del.
I'm going to not lay another landmine at your feet so you can get out of here. We got one more segment to go. We'll be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Before we go, let's go around the association. I mentioned doing this because we have some news. Sean, let them know what the Rockets have decided.
According to Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle, the Rockets have decided that they will not be offering maximum extensions for either Jalen Green or Alperen Şengün. They're unlikely to offer either player a maximum this season.
Now, that doesn't mean that if they came to a number they both agreed to, by both I mean not only the players but the organization, that they could get a lot of money. It just won't be to the max level. Will these two guys wait and try to prove that they're max players? Who don't know? We don't know that right now.
And they're just to have it out there. Their maxes are for as much as $225 million over 5 years.
Yeah. So if they gave them a max, it could have been 400 plus combined for both. That's not going to happen. We'll see if they can negotiate something, or is this going to be a point of contention all year long? Now, a team who decided to give one of their young players money. That team is the Toronto Raptors. They gave Emmanuel Quickley, a guy they acquired in a trade that sent OG Anunoby to the Knicks, who also is getting a lot of money from Knicks. Emmanuel Quickley from the Raptors, 5 years, $175 million. So the combination of RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, and Scotty Barnes are making like over $100 million in 25-26. That's what they're going to be making. I'm not sure that combination is going to lead the Raptors to any success, but they're in on those guys. So we'll see. It's a young core. I don't know if it's a good young core, but they're together for at least a little bit. And of course, anytime you sign somebody to a deal, you could trade them in a couple years anyway. But as of now, the Raptors core is Quickley, Barnes, and Barrett. I don't know if it's scaring anybody. That's what they decided.
The killer BBQs. Because Barrett Barnes.
Understood.
BBQ.
Understood.
That's all.
Yeah. I mean, they're the Raptors.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about the Kelly Eco saying that the Rockets aren't sure if they have a 1A, 5-star player. Toronto Raptors.
Well, they think Scotty Barnes could be that guy. Hmm. They're going to pay him that way.
Yeah, I guess they think that.
Some other news. The Dallas Mavericks are trading Tim Hardaway Jr. Now I'm blanking on the team. I had this on my head.
To the Pistons.
To the Pistons. That's right. And the Pistons are getting multiple second-round picks to make it happen and sending Quentin Grimes, the former Coug, to the Mavericks. So that's a cap-clearing thing, obviously. And they're dumping that salary and taking picks in return to make it happen. And that's kind of big news right now because free agency begins on Sunday. Does Paul George opt in? A lot of people think if he opts in, that's a trade. He'll ask for a trade. And if he opts out, the Sixers may be there waiting. The Rockets will probably have to make do with a trade if they're going to acquire a big name. And you know what? Doesn't have to happen in June. Hell, doesn't even have to happen in July. Who knows who will shake loose between now and the start of the year. But the Rockets are going to be at the forefront of the offseason as they appear to be very active, at least when it comes to searching out names to elevate this roster. We're done for the week. Sean and I will be back on Monday. If the Rockets make a move, we'll talk about it. Certainly going to talk about the Astros and their weekend series against the Mets. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. We are done, and that means what?
We did it!
That's right. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.